This is the Home Tech Podcast, the special Drobo edition here. I'm here in San Jose, California. I'm at the Drobo headquarters. I'll let folks know that if they want to reach the show, they can send us an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. Of course, you can find us on Facebook by searching The Average Guy. And, you can find all the shows each and every week over at theaverageguy.tv. I'm here today with Mario Blandini. Of course, Mario is my good friend at Drobo, and we are in the corporate headquarters in San Jose. Mario, how are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. I'm glad that you could partake of our local Pete's Coffee and Tea this morning with us, Jim.
Yeah, so I said, hey, Mario, can we go get some? And I won't fill in the name, but it starts with an S and an N with Bucks. And he said, we can't do that. You got to do the local Pete's Coffee. Now, Mario, I grew up here in the Bay Area, and Pete's Coffee was not what it is today when I was growing up as a kid. Certainly that's a brand that has emerged in California here in the last 6 years, 10 years?
No, they've been around since the 60s, but as the story has it, they started off more on beans.
Okay.
And the stores have really scaled out. It's mostly in Southern California, Northern California. There's two in Chicago. There's six in Boston. There's some up in Starbucks land up there in Seattle and in the Oregon area. But I love supporting local, and I'm glad you could be here locally with us, Jim.
Yeah,
because
that's great.
We have been in this office for about 2 months. We're growing like crazy a lot because we're talking with folks like you who are talking to their audience about protecting storage. Because we wake up every day, we're really passionate about it, and it's probably not the first thing people think about, but something they should be aware of is where they're storing their stuff, because they're a hard drive failure away from potentially losing a lot of stuff. And not to plug other research, but there was a Harris Interactive poll just recently, and we can give you for your show notes the reference to that, that said that if we were to give you $1 million, would you destroy willfully the digital information that you have? Would you destroy all
your
digital pictures?
Bucks. In other words, wipe out everything you have digitally for $1 million.
Yes. Would you be willing to do that?
Sell your digital soul.
And what they found was 73% of people said they would not destroy all their pictures, even for $1 million.
Right. Yeah. You'll never get that stuff back, right? Lose your pictures.
So that's tough. Yeah. And it goes to show you, we agree protecting your digital assets is super important, but how many people are actually then investing a little bit of money in a solution that'll make sure that they don't actually lose stuff? I mean, you probably talk about it all the time, Jim, around backup and around making sure your stuff's protected. There's a lot of folks that are a hard drive failure away from that $1 million loss where they're gonna lose their data. So that's why I'm glad you're here talking tech with us, because we wake up every day passionate about how we make sure we protect those digital assets you have at home.
Yeah, well, it's good to be here. We came in this morning, kind of got the tour of the facility. Very nice facility, by the way. You guys have a lot of room to grow and expand. That's good. I got the tour of the server room, which is always because I'm a geek at heart. That's an area, and I know it probably doesn't excite you as it does me going in there. There's hard drives everywhere. There's rack mounted Drobos, which now I want to put a rack in my house.
Yep.
And I want to do some rack mounted Drobos. That was very cool. Hard drives laying around everywhere. So for us, hard drive geeks, guys who, you know, Dave and John and I talk storage every single week. Mm-hmm. Being back there and seeing all that storage space back there and see what you guys are doing. You know, if you look from the outside, looking in on Drobo, I think most folks are familiar. We talked a little bit about this earlier about the Drobo product. And so they think about the black 4 or 5 bay unit. There's a lot going on back there, Mario. I mean, you guys have a lot of product going on. Just spend a few minutes telling me from a strategic direction, where are you guys going with your product? I mean, I know you're working on both consumer line and the business line. So give me kind of just a brief rundown on where Drobo is today from a product standpoint, where you guys are going.
Happy to do that. Well, the company founded in 2005. We are a company that has mostly software engineers. So you liked all the hardware that you saw, but the majority of the people here really are software people. Because if you think about it, one guy can develop the hardware platform and the other 29 folks are doing nothing but software and creating the intellectual property that is Drobo and our BeyondRaid technology. And one thing that we know is that when someone goes to Home Depot and they go down the line and they look at hammers, there's no instruction manual for a hammer.
Right.
People generally know what to do with it, and they'll buy the sized hammer that they need based on what they want to, you know, hammer on.
Right.
So For us at Drobo, we want to create a product that gives you the protection of Raid. And we're not talking about the stuff you spray in the kitchen when the bugs come in the summertime to kill bugs. You know, redundant array of inexpensive devices and
right,
discs.
Right.
We want to provide that in a form that allows people to use it for their application without needing to know exactly how it works, and they'll pick the size that works best for them. So to your point, Jim, we have now 8-bay Drobos, and you even saw our 12-bay Drobo, which as of this week is shipping for the first time. So you're here at a really cool time of Drobo's innovation in our history where we're shipping this product. And a lot of it's because larger organizations, businesses, of the 200,000 customers that we have today, a lot of them are businesses and want to take that same ease of use and affordability and expandability that a Drobo has and use it for their business. So we've always been a company to build the right idea, the intellectual property around how to do storage more elegantly, but we happen to have more form factors than we first started with. Our first form factors were the smaller ones.
Right. And so one of the comments I made when we were in there looking at it, of course, their newest kind of the business line is a is this 800i something, right? And I kind of made a comment that from a consumer standpoint, you know, those numbers don't make sense to me. You had a great explanation. Why don't you walk me through that?
Well, it's one of those things. In business, you almost have to look like a business product. So if you look at the faceplates on our Drobo, they're not the high gloss faceplates anymore. They're a matte finish. There's a little bit of a grill there. You don't even need the grill, frankly. The cooling's sure. Just fine, but it's there to look more like a industrial grade product. Similarly, from a naming perspective, people expect to see more of a nomenclature based name versus a brand name. So all Drobos had a brand name. There was the original Drobo, then we had the Drobo Pro after that, an 8-bay product. It was a bigger Drobo. We had Drobo FS for file sharing. We had Drobo S, something that you've tested yourself, Jim, for creative professionals. We had previously Drobo Elite and Drobo Pro FS. Well, it starts to become alphabet soup with all the different brand names. And frankly, we just want people to know who Drobo is, and then they pick whichever Drobo's the best fit for them based on, we call it the three C's. And you're a married man, so you know about the cut, clarity, carrots, and all that sort of other stuff around diamonds. Around storage, it's capacity, connectivity, and then the capabilities that you need. So people who know how much capacity they need, the number of drive bays, connectivity, whether they want to direct attach, network, or anything like that. We wanted to change our business nomenclature to where it would be B for business, the number of slots that it has for drives, 800 is for 8, 1200 is for 12, and then the connectivity, I for iSCSI, FS for file sharing.
All right, so there you have it. That's how you kind of decode that that model number. I assume as more units come out and you guys do more development, there'll be additional nomenclatures coming out for those as well. Really cool to see that. I, you know, being the hardware geek that I am, it was really cool in the room to kind of see, you know, they had some benches and there's parts all over the place and there's you know, there's things sticking out of them and somebody's in there like monkeying with the insides of
Absolutely.
It. Speaking of the inside, so beyond Raid, you said something when we first kicked off the podcast, and I never really thought of it this way, but you've got folks, I mean, is Beyond Raid continually being developed? I mean, is that something you guys work on from a software perspective the time?
It's why Drobo exists. At the end of the day, if we had a really cool hardware case that ran a certain set of functions, it would, like anything that's innovation-based, quickly become stale because you got to keep adding to certain things. So just this year, we added the ability to expand with 3-terabyte drives as an example of expanding beyond RAID. Also supporting a more robust set of environments around things like Linux. And we were one of the first companies out there to support Mac OS X Lion, the latest Apple release. And I'm sure if you have a couple folks that talk Apple, lots of stuff got broken in storage around the latest release.
Right, right.
And so there's plenty of stuff to do there. But in addition, on our business level products, we're supporting solid state drives in addition to standard SATA drives. And with that comes some innovation that's required and some development we're doing around tiering in an automatic way. So Jim, I know having read your reviews, things in a Drobo are all automatic, and it's one of the things you kind of appreciate. Stick
right.
a disk in there, it all does it automatically. Well, imagine if you stuck an SSD into a Drobo, and it automatically accelerated your small write transactions to the SSDs without you having to do anything. That'd be
right.
kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
And
sure.
So that's the kind of thing. Adding additional intelligence into our Beyond RAID virtualization to drive new capabilities like this automated tiering. It's first appeared in our largest product because your day job, you know that businesses want really, really ultra-fast IOPS performance for databases. We have some innovation going on there, but then as you take that forward and we move that type of capability into all the different products, you might find one of our desktop products that has three mechanical disks and one solid-state disk in there doing some cool stuff, or two and two, giving you kind of the best of both worlds, some redundancy and price capacity and price performance. There's a lot of cool innovation that can go on here, and for us, we see ourselves as a software company that happens to make really attractive hardware.
Yeah, so with these SSDs, of course, their form factors are 2.5 inch in most cases, not the three and a half inch ones that you guys have. So I'm assuming then, as you're looking at the SSDs, that form factor piece may change a little bit to accept the smaller drives from an SSD standpoint if you're putting it in there.
Yeah, right now none of our products, other than our 1200i, the business one, support solid state drives, and the form factor for our product is a 3.5 inch disk. We don't have any drive carriers. It's one of the things that makes Drobo different. It's like plugging in a cassette cartridge almost. You take the drive out of its packing material, the cardboard and the plastic clamshell, you put it in there and everything does it automatically. But you're correct, there aren't an abundance of 3.5 inch sized SSDs.
Right.
But there's a lot
right.
of people who are developing those for these sort of applications. So later on this year, you're going to start to see more of those on the marketplace. And we see that being something that will be available. But we're always looking at different form factors and how we might be able to support those. For now, it's 3.5 inch drives, and there are some 3.5 inch drives available in SSDs today.
Okay, Mario, I mentioned to you earlier, one of the things I'd really like to do is, I know you don't support this, but one of the things I'd love to do is rip that thing out of its box and put it and embed it inside, an actual PC case and kind of make I realized a couple podcasts ago, the guys on the show kind of confronted me about why I don't like just standard RAID. And I'm a little addicted to the blinking lights on the outside. I do, and I like seeing the hard drives out there, right? From a manageability standpoint, I like the fact that I can look at the PC and I can know exactly, is that drive running? Is it running well? Mm-hmm. Is there something going on that I need to know about? It's just, for me, that is horribly convenient. So it's, as I look at the inside, as we look at the inside of this, has anybody hacked the inside of that and put something else on there? I know you don't want to encourage that, but has that happened before?
Yeah, I think there have been people to, quote, deconstruct a Drobo. It's very popular in gastronomy today to take, an original recipe, take it apart and put it back together in a more inventive way. I think most people who buy Drobos are, frankly, not enthusiasts. It's one of the reasons why I love talking to you, because you give me a view into this enthusiast community, which is a little bit different than I'm used to. A lot of people who buy Drobos really buy it because they don't want to mess around with it. It's going to sit there.
Right.
They're
going to
let the lights.
Forget it, right?
And it just it runs really, really simply. Right now, our form factor doesn't really lend well to taking it apart, so to speak. So it doesn't happen as often. But we get requests all the time, Jim. I mean, you guys from the home server community ask for it, as well as others, to be able to add Drobo as a subcomponent to a larger system that can then give them that one box sort of solution that gives them the best of both worlds, the ability to eject the hard drives and have it be super simple while also being a part of a larger system. We'll continue to talk to others in the technology industry about that. It just happens to be a market that's not presenting itself.
I'll be honest, there's not a lot of money in that. And being the enthusiast, we like to mess around with that. I could see John Zadler with his Dremel, cutting that box away and exposing, because there's a circuit board in there, there's a processor in there, right?
Well, saw it. You were in the lab and you saw a naked Drobo, all the guts hanging out.
Yeah, and so I imagine you could hack the box, so to speak, if you wanted to. I would prefer, honestly, you and I have been talking a little bit about this morning, is I'm very interested in a very small form factor PC, very efficient. Maybe a Core i3 or maybe even less, something like an Atom processor, although I'm not a huge fan of those Atom processors with the 2011 operating system. But a small box, I could think of one that's about the size and shape of a Drobo that it's just condensed, right? You don't need much for a Windows home server, right? You just don't. And this is a form factor that might even work for a Windows 7 for someone who's not doing a lot of things, with it, so to speak, too. So it could be it could be then this Drobo could act as attached storage to this component. So the form factor, the way you'd look at it, is that thing might be a pedestal right. that the Drobo would sit on top of, or it would sit on top of the Drobo and right. kind of be one solid unit that is efficient. We know the Drobo is fairly efficient, right? It has some capabilities in it. If I'm not using it, right, after a certain time period, and I think that you can set that now, but after 15 minutes or stuff, the drives start to spin down.
With the larger, the smallest unit doesn't allow you to set it. It's an automatic 15 minutes, but all the five bays and above allow you to set it between 15 minutes and a day and various increments in between in terms of drive spin down. But a lot of the Drobo people are amazed how quiet it is and how cool it is. It's because we are super energy efficient on the inside in terms of that particular design. And as I've talked to you before, maybe because vendors like Drobo and all the other OEMs out there don't have a good business model to go drive one of these form factors, it could be a homegrown or kind of a community developed sort of thing. Because the pieces, parts do exist. It's a matter of someone finding a good recipe. Does the recipe need to be perfect? Yeah, maybe not. You're talking about taking all the guts out and putting it up on a piece of plywood and having it all exposed that way. For some people who are enthusiasts, that could be a good way to do it. But I think you're talking about packaging that could work for the every person. Not everyone's going to have one of those things opened up in their house. But I get a lot of requests from folks in my own family because I'm the resident IT guy in the greater family. I think you get the very same thing. And so what I tend to do is I get them Drobos and I work through them having a laptop or some sort of other device on all the time. And most of the people in my family will have an old laptop that becomes the quote, proxy for storage access in the house. And they can kind of turn that into a lightweight, not super elegant solution for storage at home. But what they're really looking to do is just some centralized backup, or they're looking to stream some simple media from that particular thing. You're talking about a more purpose-built appliance, so to speak. And I'd be interested in folks who listen to this podcast and others at maybe throwing some Drobos at you guys and seeing if you guys might come up with a good idea, because we'd love it. We're a storage manufacturer. We are focusing on that. You're not going to see us get into the appliance or the PC market, but certainly it's like peanut butter and chocolate. If you can find two ingredients that taste great together, I'd love for somebody to come up with the next peanut butter cup.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was just going to say two great tastes that taste great together. You know, with the Windows Home Server community that we're a part of with the Home Server Show, and then, of course, Home Tech, the show that I do, we're always interested in helping people make it easier for them to do these kinds of things. We know backup can often be difficult. I just got an email from Voila. I've been a big fan of theirs for the last couple of years. They're an IC, or they're a lessee company, or the other way around, I can't remember. And they just announced today that they are going to stop supporting their sharing option. You know, I would give them 100 gig of space. They would give me a 100 gig back in the cloud, which for me gets most of the really important stuff. And so they're going to discontinue that. Mario, I think, you know, it's in the Silicon Valley here, and maybe even in the Midwest and on the East Coast of the United States, we're kind of lulled into this sense of false sense of security around cloud storage. And I'm not saying it doesn't work, because it works great, but we forget that the rest of the world does not have the bandwidth that we have here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And you know, certainly in Korea and Japan, they've got better bandwidth than we do. But I look at my friends in Australia, I look at my friends in the U.K. or in Europe, and they all have bandwidth caps. And so people say to me all the time, well, why would you build a home server, or why would you worry about storage at home when I can just move it to the cloud? Well, not everybody. You know, Andrew Morris, my friend and fellow podcaster here at the Home Tech, head Home Tech podcast, he has bandwidth caps. And by the way, it's not cheap for him to move everything to the cloud all the time. Drobo, local storage, in a lot of cases, is still very viable in a lot of places around. And even in the U.S. here, where you know, folks, you don't necessarily want to always have to go to the cloud to pull down a file that you're going to edit, right? I do a lot of podcasting. And so I only want to put those things up there when I'm done with them. Mm-hmm. It's not like I want to store them up there all the time. So I think still a very viable, when we talk either Drobo, Windows Home Server, what have you, I think there's still a very viable business case for local backup and storage. Now, Mario, one of the things that I'd like to see you guys work on, I'll just give you this, is some I've been testing the backup software. I am on the FS now. I was on the S, and I would actually use the S for this. If I were going to use, make a home server like we just talked about, and I was going to pair it with something, I would pair it with the Drobo S. USB 3, great little product, 5 drives. I mean, there's a lot I could do there. So that's fantastic. The FS, of course, is network attached. Dynamite on Windows 7, that just appears. And the management tools, by the way, a little feedback for me, the management software for Drobos when you have two is awesome. I mean, it's just when you have when two Drobos show up there and you can flip between the two of them and you have all this storage, being a storage guy, it's like, oh, it was awesome. It would be good to see, and I totally lost my train of thought on that.
Some cloud-based stuff.
Yeah, so the cloud, right? So there is a place for Drobo. There is a place for localized storage and backup. And so for folks who are still kind of wondering, oh hey, dude, isn't everything moving to the cloud? I don't think so.
The way I can describe it, just from Drobo's viewpoint, is that we tend to want to listen to people who use the stuff and give them solutions that they're going to use. And I think that the industry has a very big shift toward cloud. And it's not just in the business sector, but even the consumer sector. And everybody's got these cloud offerings. There's a lot of noise around people like Mozy changing the way that their billing works, because those business models may or may not necessarily work for all-you-can-eat sort of a buffet storage in the cloud. And the truth is, whether it's networking or just the economics, there's going to be reasons that putting everything that you have in the cloud is not practical. Now, Drobo, we're big fans of cloud. As a small business, we do offsite backup. Now, it turns out we do it in a quasi-private cloud way, because we back up from a Drobo here to a Drobo in another site that we are leasing space up from, so that we can do that in a way that is cloud-like in the way we pay for it, and cloud-like in the fact that it's offsite and accessible and all those other cloud things, but not necessarily with a cloud provider, because we have a lot of data and it's not practical to pay for the monthly subscription in a lot of cases. So it's Drobo's view that we will continue to develop, you talk about Beyond Raid, ways to make it more elegant to automatically select a subset of your data set and have that synchronized up to the cloud. We made an announcement with Carbonite that we're working with them to tie into their solution so that you can provide additional protection if you're a small business to some of the data sets you have in your environment. You may not be able to back everything up practically, either because you can't afford it or you don't have the pipe to do it, but you want to keep some of it up there. So for you, maybe, Jim, it's your final gold editions of all your podcasts. Do you need all the raw files and all the originals? You know, maybe not, but putting your final produced up there as a subset might be something you want to protect. And we have a lot of photography and video customers who feel the very same way. They might have 5 terabytes on their Drobo, but they have 500 gig that they want protected up in the cloud. And that's something that they're willing to pay for, and that makes it more practical based on the rate of change they have and the amount that they're paying on a monthly basis.
Yeah, and you guys recently announced some backup software that comes with the Drobo, right? Mm-hmm. When you purchase a Drobo now, you've got some software, some client software I can install on Windows 7 and do some backup. One of the more difficult tasks, though, out there, really, and this is what Windows Home Server does better. We were talking about this.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Windows Home Server does better than just about any other product that I've seen is the bare metal backup. Uh-huh. Any plans? Have you guys been looking at all in maybe expanding your software set to do some kind of? And I know this is a little home server blasphemy right now, because I'm asking you to do what the product that I just love does. But have you guys looked at bare metal at all? Is making a Drobo able to do a bare metal backup so that I could restore? You know, I lose the hard drive. It's basically image based, right? At that point. Any thoughts on that? Have you guys looked at that at all?
Well, the thought behind our Drobo PC backup that we include in our professional-oriented products. So the Drobo FS has 3 licenses. The Drobo S, the one you like, comes with a single license. The idea there was we wanted to provide people the ability to go back in time and go grab files from a point-in-time perspective, much the way that the Apple community enjoys with Time Machine. Not a lot of that exists out of the box with Windows 7 backup. So we really wanted to provide something that was focused around that capability, but not necessarily bare metal. And if it was easy, there'd be more people doing it. So I think that's one of the challenges around the Windows home server thing is it, because it has very sophisticated elegance in that area. It's something that was developed that's not easy to kind of copy. If it were, you'd see 15 sharewares out there that could do the very same thing.
Right.
So Drobo, in looking at trying to provide something, we wanted to go for simplicity. We also wanted to go for something that would be usable by a lot of folks. And I think that Drobo is a great place to store all your backup files. It's a great place to store all your media and such and protect it in one place. In the event of a catastrophic failure, we think that most folks would either, if they lost the entire laptop, as an example, buy a new laptop, or they'd have to break out the original media sets, load that up to back to a base configuration, and then bring over all their sort of stuff. One of the things that I'd like to talk to you about, maybe it's a question: do people move everything in their life to the cloud? Well, no, but do they move everything in their life to their home server? A lot of people keep stuff on their local drive for speed, for access, and maybe just their media or non-operating system, non-application things go to that centralized storage, right? And if that's the case, well, you're backing up just the documents, you're backing up the videos, the media. You may not necessarily be doing bare metal backup on all of your stuff. So what do you put in that centralized place? Because there's two schools of thought.
Yeah, and I think most of the guys that we talk to, and it is just guys that we talk to about that, would say that, okay, so I'm going to create some file shares, and I want to be able to back those file shares up. So I have file shares that have duplication turned on in some case, right? And there was a big controversy around that last year when they removed Drive Extender and blah, blah, blah. But I think from a functional standpoint, users are, they like share files where everybody can get to it. So music, documents, movies. Those are perfect candidates for things that would exist in the
photos
share,
too.
Right? Yeah, where everybody can get to that stuff. And then I want those duplicated in case a hard drive fails. This is where Drobo would be great, because if one drive goes, they're still there, right?
I don't have
to worry about drive. You know, when we really got things cranked up after Drive Extender was jettisoned, and I said, "Hey, Mario, Beyond Raid is Drive Extender in that, and it does fill that niche of if I have a hardware failure, and I don't lose my data. I can pull that drive out, put another drive back in, and that thing just works." So, file storage is one. I think as a backup to file storage, then if I am keeping things local, so I have a laptop that I'm bringing home and syncing up every night with it, or if I am if I have a desktop and I want to keep those local, the home server guys are saying that's okay because I know it's being backed up every night to the home server as part of the backup image.
Right.
And the guys that we work with, I think a lot of the times want to, they mess around with their PCs a lot. And it's Windows has gotten easier to reinstall. Windows 7 has gotten easier to reinstall, but it still takes, I got to reinstall it. I got to put the, you know, well, drivers aren't really an issue anymore, but I got to install my software. I got to recustomize everything back out. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, home server saved me again. This crashed. I had it in, you know, an hour or two, bare metal reinstall. It's exactly the same thing that I had an hour ago. I've done that several times at home. I have a HT PC for our TV out in the living room. And I had 3.5-inch drives in it. They're super hot. Just, you know, those drives are hot, and I replaced it with two 250 gig laptop drives, which run very, very efficiently, very, very cool. Well, I just used to swap that out. I just opened the case, pulled those drives, put the new drives in, and just restored it back to bare metal. So there is that. If you're thinking about a storage structure, that's how the guys think. They're like, okay, if it didn't make it to the home server in a file share, it's going to get backed up nightly in the PC backup. And really, it gives me two options. One, if I have a hard drive failure, one, I can bare metal it. Or, like what I do, if I've had that image 6 months, now Windows 7 has made this better. Back in the XP days, you know, you had to really reinstall XP about once a year, right? Mm-hmm. It got all jammed up and it didn't work very well. So I would always just tell people, hey, if it's probably time anyways, if your image is older than a year, let's just reinstall and bring those files back. Mm-hmm. Well, with the Windows Home Server, even with that bare metal backup, I can open that thing up and then just pull those files right off of it, right, that I want. You're right in that bare metal's hard. I mean, I think that's hard. We talked at CES last year. I interviewed you on the show for it. By the way, are you going to be at CES this year? Are you going
to
be out there?
Yeah, looking forward to it. My wife, I know, is going to be there with her company, so I'm always looking to save Drobo a little bit of money. We're still startup in some cases, right. So we're trying to save it. Look good. At you. You're here at Oracle Open World saving a bunch of money, staying with friends and family.
I know.
So.
It's good, though. I get to see some friends. It's all good. Yeah. We had seen a company called ClickFree, right? Mm-hmm. And they do some backup, and they're doing it real well. They had been secretly under NDA talking about some bare metal stuff. We haven't seen it yet, so I know.
We haven't seen it from them yet either. And already today, Drobo is something that works good with a ClickFree, especially if people have a lot of data. The biggest one they make is a 3 terabyte. What if you wanted a 15 terabyte ClickFree? Well, you take a Drobo, you attach it to the back of their little dongle thing. It's really small. Have you seen it? It almost looks like a video adapter.
It does.
It's so little teeny. You put that on there, and Drobo becomes a very large ClickFree. So it's one of those things that, talking about people figuring out elegant ways to do it, there's people who've already figured out kind of how to go do that. And from a backup perspective, the stuff we include in the box is really more as a convenience to the least technical person on the planet.
Sure.
Who can just put it on there, click 3 yeses in the install, have it there, and it automatically does it, so they can have that go back in time sort of capability, something that's not built into Windows. We really aren't looking any further there, because the more sophisticated you get, the more complicated it can be, and we find that the folks out there, the enthusiasts, will go figure out a way to go ahead and do it themselves. And at Drobo, we really want to make it as simple and easy as possible, and really aim more for the broader use case. And I think you'd agree, for a lot of the non-techies out there, having something that just did the backups, would they be calling you anyway to do their bare metal restores? Probably. They're going to call. You're going to be involved anyway. So,
no, you're right.
And they're probably not doing wacky things like messing around with stuff that would cause them to need to reinstall anyway. They're surfing the web. They're creating a couple of documents maybe, and they might be shooting some pictures, taking some videos, but they're not doing a lot of wacky stuff to the guts of the operating system. So for the average person, they need bare metal a little bit less. But for folks that really appreciate it, that's one of the things that I envy about Windows Home Server. It does that incredibly well, especially the users of the MediaSmart. They loved that capability.
Right.
And they didn't even know it. They just thought that's the way it's supposed to work, because they made it so easy. Hey, isn't that how it's always supposed to work?
Right.
They kind of spoiled. They didn't realize that it was something very sophisticated.
Yeah. Well, that ClickFree form factor is a little smaller than I'm thinking, but a little bit bigger than that. And so I'd like to see, so Microsoft, I hope you're listening. I know you're not, but if you're listening, I'd love to see Windows Home Server embedded, right? I mean, that idea of Windows Home Server embedded on a small device that you could plug. It's got a USB 3 in the back, or eSATA, or maybe both, or the new, the new
Mac-based one, Thunderbolt.
Thunderbolt. And so you could just plug in, add external storage here, and it kind of does its thing, and pulls that up. I am a big fan. I do like on Windows Home Server 2011, I am a big fan of just attaching that Drobo and, mm-hmm. and presenting that volume to 2011 as one gigantic volume.
16 terabytes.
And then just letting Drobo kind of manage any thought, and maybe this is where the Windows Home Server community could go on. How are we doing on time?
We're doing fine.
We got a few minutes. Any thought to a Windows Home Server add-in, a Drobo add-in that would maybe help that out?
No, I think that I emailed you and Dave, I want to say it was like 4 or 5 months ago. We were up in Seattle, and we were meeting with the team of folks that are doing the small business server, and they were saying, why don't you do an add-in from a management perspective? You talked about how cool our Drobo dashboard is for managing multiple Drobos, but at the end of the day, most people don't like management tools. They kind of all want it put in there. So doing a management add-in that would allow you to do some of the Drobo stuff, because at the end of the day, there's not a lot of things you need to do in the GUI. With the Drobo, most of the things is just following the lights that are on the front there.
Right.
And for those who haven't seen it, I'm sure that Jim will put into the show notes the picture of the inside of a front panel of a Drobo, which is just the red, yellow, green, how to follow the traffic lights of a Drobo. And that being said, there are some things that we could do from a management plug-in perspective, and we just haven't gotten that formally lined up yet on the roadmap, but it's something we're certainly considering, and I'd love feedback. So if anybody has any feedback on what they'd like to see that management plugin do, Mario@Drobo.com, or hit us on Twitter @Drobo, and we'd love to get your feedback.
Good stuff. Hey, so here's an idea for it. I just float this out. We didn't talk about it in advance, and I know I'm a little bit of a loose cannon for you. So, you know, I always say these things, and I see you wince. Oh,
I'm smiling. This is fun.
Don't take the guts out of a Drobo. Don't do that. But, you know, maybe Drobo puts a little bounty out there and says, hey, for the first person who comes up with a 2011 add-in, wins a Drobo. You know, something
that's an easy thing. So if someone wants to go crazy and do one, in fact, if they just want to commit to doing one, I'd be happy to send them a Drobo in advance so they can help write the darn thing. All and you can have any sized one you want. So I know Jim was looking at that 8-bay salivating a little bit because that's 24 raw terabytes, more than 20 terabytes usable. You could have a lot of legally downloaded content stored on a 20 terabyte Drobo. Of course, I would never advocate any non-legal storage of media that you otherwise wouldn't have rights to owning. But yeah, for a lot of folks, if you are an enthusiast out there, same email address, mario@drobo.com. It is my real email address. It doesn't get filtered by anything. And that's one of the reasons why you see me sometimes emailing you back, Jim, at 12 o'clock at night, because it takes a long time digging through all those. But I encourage anybody to give any feedback. And if there are any developers out there that want to get a Drobo and try their hands at putting an add-in together, I'd love to send you one.
Okay. Well, that's great. And you're okay with me talking about that on the Home Server Show?
Absolutely.
I think that would be cool. Because, you know, let the community do its thing for you guys.
Yeah.
And let it find its way for you. So if anybody out there, if you wanted to do a home server add-in and you were thinking about it, we can kind of hook you up and maybe get you close. That's very cool. All right, last question. Mm-hmm. Hard drives continue to get larger, right? And we are moving in a direction of 4 terabytes. And
as early as the end of this year,
And so Drobo's ready for that, I assume? You guys are ready to take those bigger hard
drives?
The big
hurdle was going to the different addressing that we had, getting past the 2-terabyte threshold. Now that we've done all of the coding for that next threshold, the 4-terabyte drives, we expect that you can throw those into a Drobo and they may, without any firmware changes, just work automatically. Now, we will naturally test those things. And
I'll test a few for you.
I imagine you would. But at the end of the day, you may get the drives just as fast as we do at Drobo.
Right,
we do make storage, but you may already know, Drobo doesn't force you to buy the hard drives from us. Because you can buy them on the open market, we as a customer of the drive manufacturers aren't a very big customer. Newegg is a gigantic customer.
Sure.
That's why Newegg has really great prices on drives. And when I sent you the 3-terabyte drives, I sent them to you from Newegg. Because
I know, direct ship.
It was cheaper for me to do it that way than it was to buy them from the drive manufacturers. So we expect when those things come out, We'll test them up, and when we do our routine firmware updates, that we'd have a firmware update that had any little tweaks and changes that were required to optimize for those drives. Because for folks who know, the reason why there's drive compatibility list is while they're all, quote, standard, they all have their unique, I'll say, personalities.
Yeah.
So we do expect just architecturally for them to work straight away out of the box, because we've already done the coding for large form factor drives, like greater than 2 terabytes.
Yeah, well, good stuff. Well, I know that market continues to get cheaper. Those drives continue to get larger. Excited about kind of following where Drobo goes. Exciting day, Mario, to be here at Drobo, and I appreciate you making the trek across town this morning. Traffic in the Bay Area was treacherous for some reason. I don't know why. I was watching the news on the way over, maybe it was because it was a Monday. I think there's rain coming. I couldn't believe rain made the news.
Yes,
right?
Storm Watch 2011. It could be the first rain of the season, and for
it is
us in agreeable temperate climates. The funny thing is, Jim, you grew up here.
I did.
And it's amazing take Drobo as a company. We're over 100 employees now. 63% of the company did not grow up in California. And more than 30% of the company wasn't even born in the United States.
Oh, wow.
So it goes to show you what a melting pot we have here. So what always boggles my mind is, if everybody's from somewhere else where the weather's not good, how is it that they can't drive here when the weather turns to not good? You figure they would have picked up those skills along the way wherever they came from. But it's one of those funny things. But anyway, I'm glad you at least can appreciate now that your Midwest congestion compared to the stuff we have here closer to the ocean.
Yeah, no, it's good to be back. I got a chance to have breakfast in Santa Cruz, and I was up in San Francisco yesterday. You and I, here in a few minutes, will be picking up a shuttle and heading up. Of course, I'm here for Oracle Open World and some meetings. And so it's always good to be back in the Bay Area. Mario, thanks for having me in here at Drobo.
Oh, my pleasure.
It's always eye-opening. It's great to come down here, see the inner workings now when we talk. You know, I get in the home server community, I get a lot. I take a rash for
Of course
for,
you do.
Drobo. And I love it. I bring it on. it's kind of become my mark, and it's exciting. But I appreciate the tour and such, yeah. And so it's good to be here. I'll remind folks that, of course, they can contact the show. Mario, you put your email address out there, and I'll include that in the show notes. We launched the first ever Windows Home Server add-in, Drobo add-in challenge here on the show.
And we'll talk
a little bit about that on the Home Server Show on Wednesday of this week. So if you haven't listened to the Home Server Show podcast, that's just homeservershow.com. Pop over there, and I'm on that every Wednesday. Folks can email me, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. You'll be able to find this podcast and a few others that I do over at theaverageguy.tv. TV and Mario, thanks again for having me out, and we'll hopefully maybe make this an annual. I come out in October for Open World. Maybe we'll try and make this an annual pilgrimage.
Yes, this will be the first annual one to include a mix in from a live CES on location.
Yeah,
a quick thing. We'll have to make sure we do that.
Right.
And folks, thanks for listening. And I just encourage you that don't go buy a Drobo straight away or a great device if you want to protect your storage. But please do think about how much you would not be willing to take to have all your digital information destroyed.
Right.
And you got to go ahead and protect that stuff. So if you're listening to this podcast, odds are you do care about that stuff and you're doing things to protect that stuff, but also your family. You got to let them know. They got to protect their storage, because you don't want to have to console them and embrace them when they need a hug after having lost all the videos that they did to the family.
They can't get back. Hey, one more thing. Are you still podcasting? Is there still a Drobo podcast? Are you guys?
There is. And in fact, tomorrow, probably the biggest podcast we've ever done on the business side. Most of our podcasts are on business products. We have a joint solution with Veeam. Backup software for virtual server environments, VMware and Hyper-V. We have Rick Vanover there, industry pundit and the expert, and he's got all the different accoutrements titles that you happen to have that goes along with your name. But he's a renowned expert there. If you want to talk a little bit of virtualization geeky stuff at Drobo, you can go to drobo.com/TV or drobo.com/VEEAM and register for that podcast. But A lot less interesting, frankly, because it's boring business stuff than the home server stuff you have going on here.
Virtualization in the home server community is big right now. We're talking all that. So I'll encourage folks to head over there. By the time this podcast comes out, you'll have already had the live.
Yeah, but go there. You'll get the replay. I mean, I'm one of these guys that, frankly, you were in traffic with me this morning. My wife, who commutes with me down from where we live about 44 miles away, listens to a lot of tech podcasts in the car going through the car speakers.
Oh, boy.
So
nice.
I get to do that 3 times a week. I can't do it 5 days a week, but that's how I keep up with a lot of this stuff. I listen to this stuff in the car. So if you don't have to listen live in order to get a lot of the value out of the content.
Drobo.com, and they can register out there. If they want to register for the podcast that's already been done, Drobo.com/TV
is where we have all of our archived content. And interestingly enough, by the time this thing cuts, you might see Drobo going to a brand new website with a radically new design. We're hoping that makes it a lot easier to use. We're growing as a company. We're now, in a much bigger building. We got to get into a much bigger website as well,
yeah,
as much traffic we're getting. So
we'll be
seeing that. And at drobo.com/TV, scroll down most of the way to the bottom. And from January of last year, you can listen to a industry luminary talk how to protect storage at your home, i.e. Jim Collison talking about how to use a Drobo with Windows Home Server.
That's
so
right.
That's an oldie but goodie.
It is a good one. I wonder how do you guys track the hits on that? I'll have to check.
Yeah, you're in the 5 digits. You haven't gotten to 6 digits yet, but it's 5 digits.
Very nice, very nice. Well, Mario, thanks for your time. We'll do it all again. This is another Home Tech Podcast Special Drobo Edition from San Jose, California. We'll catch you next time. Thanks.